Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker, also of the Game Brain podcast. If you like board games, check it out. And joining me is a wonderful, lovely man. His name is Ronnie Karam. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, hi, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing just swell, thank you. It's raining. New hip. New hand. Burned my hand pretty bad last night while I was making a chicken pot pie. Should have known better. I have a feeling I'll probably discuss it at length in our bonus episode, which we haven't recorded quite yet. For those of you who want to find out about it. The pot pie, not so much my burnt hand. But maybe a little bit of both. Who knows? But today we're here to talk Southern Charm. Anything we have to discuss at the top of the show, Ronnie, or should we just get into it?
No, that's it. Let's just get right into it.
We got nothing left. We can just get
Yeah, I think that we need a little horror show music for the beginning of this one. Listen, I think that everyone on this show knows a very good Coke dealer in New York because these guys showed up strung out, except for Pringle, who was pretty much just like the old drunk guy you see at the bus stop, you know, where Right. You're like, does that guy need a dollar or is that like my uncle? You know?
Well, he had two bourbons beforehand. Didn't you know that?
That's cute when you're 20, sir.
It was quite the reunion. I mean, I was cracking up just because of all the lunacy happening, and just also the double standards are just so outrageous on this show. I just don't, you know.
it's the only kind they have in Charleston, honey.
I know. It gets me mad, and then I realize, why am I getting mad? Why am I putting myself in this space? You should actually see the dark comedy in this, because it's just too ridiculous. I mean, I will get myself mad again as we recap, I'm sure.
I wasn't mad. I was not mad at all. I was just cracking up at the whole thing. Especially Craig showing up as Shecky Green, the old comic from the Catskills.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? Like, I know you guys have a different style over there, but dude. And then he was like sitting back like he's Bill Gates now. Like the whole time he was doing that lean back in the chair with his legs crossed. Like, yes, I will answer your question about solving, you know, world crises with my billions of dollars, Andy. I'm like, Craig, congrats on the pillows. Okay, but calm it down, Craig.
Yeah, Craig and Shep looked a little worse for wear at this reunion. I don't know what happened. I mean, you know, like, I understand quarantine is a real deal, and so, you know, haircuts are not coming as easily to most of us. But this was just like... Things went awry in the style department for those guys this reunion. Yeah.
So we opened with Pringle getting his beard combed and lysed, and then Madison is talking about how bold my outfit is. It's bold today, Andy. And Shep is like, oh, I saw Austin tanning his ankles.
That's insane. My ankles are naturally that color. It's insane right now that you say that about me. Wait, Ronnie, I think we should address one thing. Because I feel like people are going to kill us if we don't address it, that there's some really uninteresting love triangle happening with Madison and Kristen Cavallari and Jay Cutler and I guess Austin.
Oh, yeah. We can talk about that. Sure.
Let's just talk about it because people keep, you know, adding us about it. And I mean, it's amusing. I don't understand why people are so... Like, everyone's like super into it. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be like, ew, like, it's stupid. Why are you into that? But I just don't understand the appeal of it. But from what I can gather, Kristen Cavallari broke up with Jay Cutler. And because, you know, everyone they were such a forever couple. And, and when they broke up, then Austin and Craig went to like Nashville or something, and then they partied with Kristen and that guy who I think is her hairdresser. It's her gay or something. And they did this like IG where they sang Taylor Swift, and everyone went nuts about it. I didn't really understand why, because it was just them singing, but they went nuts about it. And that was like,
because everyone thought that Austin was dating Kristen now.
Oh,
like, yeah. So they were like, oh, Austin's got Kristen. And then Madison was annoyed. So she did a post at her house with Vanita where they were dancing around to Taylor Swift. And Madison was riding on Vanita's shoulders. And then they were she said something, oh, don't worry, y'all, we're partying, but my kid's not here. And I don't think I can say the same for Kristen.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
Partying. And so everyone's like, oh my God, she just called Kristen a bad mother.
I didn't know that.
So everybody was like piling on Madison for mommy shaming, which is very big in Bravo for the past year. It's like,
so fun.
You don't mommy shame.
You don't shame the mommy lovers. Okay. Oh, that would make sense.
The only people that are allowed to shame are actual mommies. Okay. And I've got one. I can vouch for that.
Well, that makes sense. Because I just did not understand why everyone was going so nuts about like, look, Kristen Cavallari's on Austin's shoulders and they're spinning. And I was like, I don't get it. Like, I don't understand why this is a scandal. But now seeing that there was a Madison response, that illuminates it a little bit.
Yes. So on Watch What Happens Live, Andy asked Madison about it. And she said, I don't know about his Instagram. I'm too busy having my own adventures. And so then she did her Instagram thing. So everyone's like, oh my God, she mommy shamed and blah, blah, blah. So then
if anyone deserves mommy shame, it's Kristen Cavallari, by the way. I'm not going to get into it, but if anyone deserves it, especially these days, it's Kristen Cavallari. Sorry. I mean, listen, I love me some Kristen Cavallari from Laguna Beach. Like, she was my jam. But she should be mommy shamed a little bit.
So there were, I mean, I don't know. I don't keep up with Kristen. I don't really know. Mm-hmm. All I know is she's the one from the hills who's always like, why is everybody being so mean to me? So that's pretty much all I know about her. And then I tried watching her show one time just because it was one of those shows that came on Bravo for some reason. Yeah. You know how sometimes they show E's shows? I guess it was on E. I don't know. For whatever reason, it was on my TV.
Probably Comcast.
And I watched it, and he was like, you go to the store too much. You are constantly working. And she's like, I have a business too. I am allowed to work too. And he was like, but it is so much. I don't really see.
It was so
and I was
bad.
Like, who watches this? This is terrible.
It was so bad. I mean, basically, if a Big Tam could throw a football, it's Jay Cutler, right? And then you have like Kristen Cavallari, who like, all I've got to say is, before coronavirus, Ronnie and I were on a plane. And after that plane ride, we were contacted by the Department of Health because someone didn't vaccinate their children and there was a measles outbreak on that plane and it made national news. This is before coronavirus totally one-upped our little measles outbreak story. So I'm just saying, Kristen,
She's anti-vaxxer.
Yeah, she is. I was trying to be delicate and not say it. I was like, okay, but of course I can't help myself.
Just say it.
I can't help myself.
Yeah, she's an anti-vaxxer. And also in that video, in the original video, like you said, her hairdresser friend, Justin, I think his name is like, girl, like taking off his shirt. And this guy is like a Botox disaster. Okay. I think I'm used to seeing it on Housewives and I'm still just not used to seeing it that much. I mean, that much on guys, but he looks crazy. So then, they did this video. So then, Kristen and Jay posted an Instagram and it said, the world is full of users. This is what he posted. The world is full of users. 10 years. Can't break that. Well, you can break it because you guys broke up, stupid. So that post doesn't make any sense. And it was obviously aimed at Madison, right?
Right.
Because of her retaliatory video. So she wrote under it, I told you it would all work out. But she didn't say work out. Well, she put like workout, like the show workout. And then she put a laughy face emoji.
So we're going to bring in Jackie into this. Jackie, what's her face? Power lesbian. Yeah. Well, but the other thing was that, wasn't it that Jay Cutler, when Austin was with Kristen, Jay went and like had sex with Madison, right? Isn't that the rumor?
supposedly that they were hooking up.
Right. And then
that's the rumor.
But now Jay and Kristen are sort of back together or whatever, and Madison's, like you said, is like, it's like it all works out. So it's a whole scandal that
She said she posted a video with a stain on her shirt. And she says, well, it looks to me like I'm going to have to drop some receipts. Hate to do it, but... I'm like, you do not hate to do it, Madison. like, Madison is the biggest thirst bomb, okay? But also, so are Jay and Kristen.
Yeah.
Both of them. Like, they're all trying to, like, clout chase each other's clout. And it's small clout. You know, small clout. Let's face it, guys. Yeah. It's like fishing in a fishing farm, you know, where there's already rainbow trout in the pond put there for you to be caught.
You know?
Yeah. It's just small fish.
You know, I mean, Madison is actually really smart because she is so thirsty. And normally I feel like I would be coming down on her so much. But it's always in the context of, like, Austin. And I don't know. Like, to me, like, I'm just, like, she's thirsty. But then I also, then I see Austin and I think to myself, God, I understand why she does the things she does, because Austin is just insufferable. He's so insufferable. Well,
it's fighting over mediocrity. You know, yesterday I had nothing to watch. So I was checking out HGTV, the app, you know, where you can watch things on demand. And I was watching this show called Tiny Luxury Homes.
Is that an oxymoron?
Like,
I'm not
sure. I was like, I can't watch this. You know, I made it through about 20 minutes and I'm like, you guys, it's a trailer. Stop. They're acting like, oh my God, this is my dream, honey. I'm like, it's a trailer. That was your dream. Like, dream higher. And that's how I feel with this whole thing. It's like you're fighting over Austin. It's like he's a tiny home, you know? Austin is a luxury tiny home.
I think that's accurate. That's even though he's
so
very
then
tall.
her receipts that she wanted to post, she posted on her Instagram stories, and then she posted it with a little gif of Kermit drinking tea. You know, mm-hmm. Madison's obsessed with Muppets right now.
Right.
So she had her Kermit drinking tea, and she posted a text conversation that she had with Jay. And first of all, it starts with Jay making the okay symbol. Now, the okay symbol, as everyone knows on Bravo, the okay symbol means okay, right? But in the past year or so, it's 8chan did this whole thing where they were trying to make simple statements like that. Like, the liberals go crazy over these things, and they were labeling it as like a white supremacist thing, and it wasn't. But then the white supremacists were like, oh, okay, it's a white supremacist thing. Let's use it. So then the white supremacists made it a real thing and did start using it as that. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because of the whole Kelly Dodd drama that also happened this week.
Oh, geez.
Where yeah. Kelly was at a, we hadn't talked about this either, small detour, but Kelly, posted a picture at some party, and one of the ladies was making this okay sign, and Bravo historian, who was just on Watch What Happens Live last week and is a Bravo commentator, she's a really well-known Bravo commentator, Samantha, and she posted that and said, nice, you know, something like, nice, a white supremacist sign at your party, Kelly. And then Kelly went fucking crazy over it and sent all of her minions after this girl, Samantha, but she tagged the wrong Samantha. And so she was trying to get the wrong Samantha fired from her job and all this stuff. And then Bravo historian ended up going offline. Like, she took her Instagram down. It was just a whole mess over this stupid okay sign from white supremacists or whatever.
Yeah, it was.
So anyway, that's a detour on that. So anyway, Jay's text starts with the okay sign, which I'm like, this is so Bravo for the week, right?
This is so on brand for Bravo.
So she says, what were you coming here for? Because you didn't tell me anything. And he's like, to hang out with you. Well, you've got to ask me. Ha ha, I was going to today. Well, you better ask me because you already booked it. Well, do you want to hang out next weekend? Okay, do not stress about it. I bought the flight yesterday because it was the last direct one. If it doesn't work out, I can change it to another time. Perfect. So, the second screenshot. Are you loving? You just brought this up as a quick thing. And I'm like, let's talk about it.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Might as well get into it. I mean, let's do it.
So, then there's another one that it starts with her going, why would I do that? And he says, it was insinuated, and my name was also brought into it, which I didn't appreciate. Jay,
I've done nothing but respect you and your privacy. And I respect you and I respect your family. And I would never say anything to jeopardize you and your family.
Well, it didn't seem like that was the case. Maybe it was accidental. I don't know. No one wants this mess. I appreciate you saying that. I think we can all respect each other moving forward, at the very least.
I am disgusted by this whole situation. You've reached out to me, dot, dot, dot. Your intentions may have not been pure, but that might be you projecting. I've never said anything about you or Kirsten, nor would I, and I came into this honestly with good intentions, and I want no part of being involved in the payback or drama, but you initiated and pursued, and if you weren't interested in something real, you shouldn't have slept with me.
And then she put at the bottom, I kept my mouth shut until I got called a liar.
That's classic Madison. I mean, yeah, Madison is very thirsty, and I think she's a little slippery with the truth. I think her biggest issue is that she seems to go after guys who are just shrouded in drama. And then she also has her own drama, which I guess is how dramatic people are. They just are drawn to each other. But someone online was like, Ben, please do not defend Madison again. And I'm like, sorry, I probably will have to. I probably will have to defend Madison because I can't take Austin's side in any of this or anything that happens in this reunion. I'm sorry. Sorry to people who are getting frustrated.
This is Bravo. Like, we're literally tricked into defending terrible people every day. Anyone who watches Bravo, you know?
I also have to say...
The Botox friend with the crazy hair went on his Instagram. He's like, y'all, I do not like being involved in stuff like this.
Yes,
just going to say... right now, I'm sticking up for my friend, and she's a good person, and blah, 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 and I don't want any of this in my real life, okay? But they talk about kids, and that's not right.
They did not talk about kids. She made some offhand, you know, joke, like Kristen probably had her kid in the house while she was partying or something, which... Like, whose parents... I mean, maybe I just come from a family where my parents partied every night while I was home. So, I don't get why that was like, you're a terrible mother. But anyway, so he, like, has his whole thing. Like, I don't even want to be involved in this, except now I'm in my own solo Instagram live video. So.
This guy, professional hanger-on. I mean, you can just spot them coming a mile away. I don't want to be involved, but I'm going to do something very, like, big to promote, to keep the story going, and also to promote my role in it and to advertise the fact that I'm close with Kristen and prove my loyalty to her so that way I can stay close with her and that way I can appear in more ridiculous Instagram videos. Like, we got your number. We know what you're all about, Justin.
Yeah. And he says, also, as an adult, posting private messages from another adult, that's fucking low. And that says a lot right there. That says a lot right there. Well, yeah, but he's calling her a liar. So, I mean, whatever, buddy. And by the way, thanks to BuzzFeed News, because that's where I was reading all this stuff from. Don't think I have like my own little Catherine folder that I forgot in my dressing room sitting here with all
this. You really came with that. I thought it would just be like a thing, like, yeah, there was like a thing where then, like, she slept with him and that was him and became a thing. I don't know, but
I followed it, and even while I was following it as it was going on, I was like, why am I doing this? Like, I could be playing Mario right now and feeling like a more productive member of society, you know?
I literally think that when I burned my hand last night, like, really deeply burned it, like, it was massive pain, I still think that was probably more interesting than this entire scandal. I'm being a scandal snob now. I'm like, ugh. I'm being like yesterday, my friend Kristen was like, you have to see this guy. There was a guy, a fellow gay on Twitter who's like, I don't know, like, this may be gay sacrilege, but I'd have never watched The Housewives and I never found it interesting. And then it's like, and then there are all these people like, yeah, me too, me too, me too. And I was like, oh, wow, okay, so you're so cool because you don't watch Housewives. That makes you so much value. I'm like, okay, sure. And meanwhile, I feel like I'm doing the same thing about this scandal. If you found joy from this scandal, I totally support you and applaud you. I just didn't think it was a very interesting scandal.
Oh, I mean, I thought it was fun. It's the time of COVID, you know, like, just different shit is fun. I sat through the entire flight attendant, too, on HBO Max. So who am I to judge?
You know,
you just get desperate times call for desperate measures, people.
Yeah. Okay?
And by the way, girl from the flight attendant, you're not Jennifer Aniston, so stop. Stop trying.
And by the way, everyone, we do know that Luke is in The Flight Attendant. Thank you for tweeting at us.
Oh my God, he's so hot, and he's actually a decent actor for his two lines that he had. Uh-huh. I mean, I believed him as a fuckboy. Go figure.
Good job. Yeah, he was able to.
Method.
Yeah, method. So this reunion. Okay, so, okay, I want to just get something right off my chest, because I don't want to do a rant later on. I just want to do a real quick rant at the top, since we're already doing, like, a pre-show, basically. Here's why I got, like, a little triggered by it, but not really mad. Not really triggered, but, like, annoyed triggered. Because there are a lot of people on the internet who have been really mean to Leva. Like, and they basically are like, Leva is so, she just yells at everyone. She wags her finger at everyone, which is what Shep says at the beginning. She's so mean. All she does is yell at everyone. All she does is yell at everyone. And honestly, I don't really feel like all she does is yell at everyone. I think that she had one scene where she yelled at Austin because Austin interrupted her and was being condescending. And then the next episode, actually, she was like snappy with him at the dinner party, but she didn't really yell. She was very frank and she was very straightforward. And she and her friends like talked about a situation in an exasperated way. But I don't, in the realm of yelling reality stars, I just didn't think, I felt like that was people projecting something onto her. So I'm saying that because this episode, right out the gate, and we're going to get into it, was Craig and Austin just railing on Madison, calling her a slut, calling her trash, just screaming at her. And I'm like, I hope that everyone who was so angry at Leva because she yells so much. She yells so much. I hope that they're saying that about Craig and Austin too, because like, I think there's that was the double standard that actually annoyed me, because I feel like people just really had their knives out for Leva when you have these two assholes who are doing way more yelling, way more meddling, for a way more immature reason. That's my rant.
Well, I think that people were annoyed with Leva because she's kind of put in a bad situation, right? It's like, okay, we're in trouble because of racist tweets. So let's fire up some minorities to come yell at Catherine. That's how it came off, I think, to me and a lot of people. And so Leva's kind of put in this situation where her entire season revolves around this. It's like every scene we saw with her, except for the scenes where she was at home with her kid, you know. But pretty much her scenes were about calling Catherine out. You know, it was either helping Catherine on the phone or when are we going to call Catherine out? Or, you know, then the conversation with Catherine's friends after the statue thing when she's like, well, you know, we need to stop baby. Catherine needs to stop being coddled. Catherine needs to be called out. Now, the thing is, none of that's wrong. Catherine does need to be called out and she does not need to be coddled. Like her, I don't think that her opinion was wrong at all, but I think that people saw her as it's like, okay, here you are. And every time you come into something, it's like, let's have a fight with Catherine or let's be talking about Catherine or blah, 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 blah. But I don't know that that's necessarily her fault as much as it's, you know, it's the fault of what time we live in and what Catherine did. You know, like they have to talk about it on the show. And if she's the one they're having bring it up on the show, because nobody else even bothered to read any of the blogs or anything else to know what was going on. So I don't know. I mean, I do think that Leva, especially towards the end, I was like, okay, enough. Just get it. Like, get this done. Because it's like every episode, that's all she got to do in the whole show. But as far as her, like, yelling with Austin and them, it's like, fuck off, you guys. You know, yelling in a woman's face and all that shit. So,
yeah, but
you know, I'm with you for the most part. But I do think that, yeah, Kat, she did have a storyline that was like, all about calling somebody else out the whole time.
I mean,
and it just got old.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that that's how people felt. But what I'm saying is, like, I feel like she was just sort of talking about something that was going on in their group of friends, like a big, big, big deal that happened where she was, like, personally offended and was, like, trying to sort of deal with that all season. And, like, what are we going to do? How are we going to talk to her about this? Or, Danny, you need to, like, say something like, she can't be coddled. This is ridiculous. And to me, that just sort of, like, made sense. And so I just feel like the fact that people feel like all she was doing was waiting to confront Catherine to take her down, like the fact that people feel that they're bringing that emotion to it, that like they are seeing it as Leva as like a plotter, just planning to have like a make it a splash, like that they are imbuing her with some sort of like nefarious. I know you're not saying she's nefarious, but like that it suggests that there's like bad intent. or almost self-serving intent. And where I get frustrating is that I just don't see that people bring that to other people on the cast, especially the men who are like doing it 10 times worse, right? And so that's why I got frustrated.
Well, also, there's the fact that Leva had to keep bringing it up because Catherine never did take responsibility for it. You know, that's the other side of it. Like, this, like I say, it gets boring, and it did. I got bored with it. But also, it would have been done had Catherine just admitted what the fuck she did and stopped acting so innocent. Like, I didn't even know who I was talking to, and et cetera, et cetera. It could have ended a long time ago if she had just done it too. So,
but ultimately,
yeah, I don't think it was nefarious, but I do think it got like old by the end. But you know what? Guess what else gets old? Fucking racism. People getting away with shit. So.
That is true. Yeah. No, I just saw a lot of comments that were like, ew, Leva. Oh, she's so mean. She needs to get a life. She's so mean. I'm like, well, you better be saying that about Austin too, or Craig, or Shepard. Like, half these guys that are just like so mean, you know, like, you know, and I know like no one here on this show is really particularly innocent or an angel or wonderful, but that's where I felt a really strong double standard. And I thought it really came to the fore right at the beginning of the show when the two guys were just railing on Madison. I was like, okay, so Leva, like, talking about racism is like, ew, she's so mean. But these guys being like, you're trash. You're such trash. I don't want to ever see you again in my life. You're trash. But that's not mean.
Yeah, well, the guys on this show are notorious for being trash.
That's true. You know? And that's why we watch. Yeah,
this is a show about horrible men. Let's not forget. And we forgot really until we saw the first episode again and recapped it at a live show last year or 2 years ago. That this show was originally just about men being horrible. I mean, it wasn't really about the women until... I mean, Catherine's always been a main part of it, obviously, but it wasn't really about a group of women until the last couple of seasons, you know, when they kind of took it over. But it was always about these guys just being fucking pigs. Yeah. I mean, it was like old guys passing this kid around, basically, in the beginning.
JD.
Oh, this is gross. So, yeah, Shep starts with... We're still backstage, and Madison, we're like
we made it
half an hour into this recap, 10
seconds,
guys. So.
Sorry, we had a lot on our mind, I guess. Okay. Commercials. Here comes one right
now. Yeah. So Madison's like, well, Catherine's brought Caleb, so they're kissing in the dressing room. And then back to Madison, she's like, well, I don't go into this thinking anyone will ever have my back, but if you come for me, you better know this. I will fight. And then Craig's like, I'm not walking off that stage until Madison's crying. She doesn't have a fucking soul, so I doubt she can even cry.
Okay, Craig. And then Shep is telling Leva, oh, Leva, you just sort of came off as you're wagging your finger at everybody. And, you know, that's what it is. And this is pretty much everything I just said, which is like, yeah, I won't go back into it because I literally just talked about it for 10 minutes.
And then Leva's right there at the door. It's like she's passing by and hears him. And she goes, excuse me, I did not talk shit about you. And he's like, oh, I didn't say you did. She goes, yeah, I didn't talk shit. And did you say that to Austin? Did you say I talked shit to you? And he's like, Leva, do not pretend you don't talk shit about everybody. Come on, Leva.
It's insane.
And she goes, oh, you know what? She goes, you know what? Why don't you go do something in the bathroom and take care of your nerves, honey? Which is an obvious call to Coke, which I loved. So thank you.
Yeah, that was...
Thank you for finally getting it out there, ma'am.
Yes, exactly. So, we sort of see like a little bit of a trailer of what's to come on the reunion. And then, we have Andy who welcomes everyone and he's like, hey everyone, I'm Andy Cohen. Got an erection because I see Craig over there. Despite his crazy look, he has residual hotness from last reunion. Yeah. Okay. Hi everyone.
Hey Madison, your revenge bod's on fire. It's like, it's just getting started, Andy.
What does that mean? What are you going to have, like, guns that come out of your, like, abdomen? What else are you going to do to it?
She also looked the same, by the way. I mean, she always looks hot, but I mean, she looks the same. Her revenge body is sort of like her regular body. She's just always in a state of revenge.
Yeah.
I'm adding a V7 to this bitch soon, Andy. I'm just getting started. He's like, Pringle, do you do anything special to prepare?
Oh, I had a couple bourbons, Andy.
Oh, he's just an enigmatic man from the South. Right. Catherine, we had quite the cliffhanger last season. I'm not allowed to say, well, you lost a lot of weight, so I'm just going to say, you don't look pregnant. Are you pregnant? Because you don't look pregnant. Do you want to tell us why you don't look pregnant, perhaps? She's like, no.
And everyone starts cracking up because they hadn't seen the season finale, obviously. They were like, what? What again? Come on. Like, you're doing that again? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, guys, we had a pretty iffy season, so let's just pretend Catherine might be pregnant again. That always works.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
So, yeah, I get the sense that they were given a bunch of the episodes to watch, like, right before shooting, and then right before the reunion, and then they were like, let's go party instead. So Catherine's like, yeah, nobody here knew about it. I missed my cycle for 3 months. I'm like, is that normal? is that good? If you're missing your cycle for 3 months, should you see a doctor? I mean, I'm not a lady, so I don't know these things. I don't even know what a cycle is.
I'm not sure how
that
works.
Was she not using her Peloton? Is that what that means? I don't know.
I couldn't find my bicycle for 3 months, Andy, so I thought I might be pregnant.
He's like, we almost had another rabbit L baby.
She's like, yeah, but this one has two L's. So Austin, here you're a little bit apprehensive about coming out here, Austin.
And he's like, well, my buds forced me to watch the episodes last night. So, you know, I'm pretty shook, Andy. I'm pretty shook, Andy.
Was that
yeah.
Gonzo and Kermit told him to watch? So then Andy's like, Leva, how are the restaurants? And she's like, well, we just opened up our latest restaurant, and it's called First Stop, which I thought was funny because it's not the first one. Also, by the way, I will say this. In case anyone thinks I'm being too much of a Leva apologist, I do have a ding against Leva, which is that I did post on her Instagram a Leva appreciation post, and then I was like, I'm just going to regram something from her Instagram, and everything on her Instagram is so annoying. Every picture is like her saying, like, got the top from Zara, got the shoes from, you know, Penny Saver, DM me for the looks or whatever. I'm like, okay, Leva, let's not do that. That's annoying. I'm trying to stand up for you.
Sell when the iron's hot, basically.
Yeah.
So her restaurants are fine because Charleston has at least kind of opened up. It's more open than New York. And Craig, you're the pillow king, which is an awkward week to be called that. And Craig's like, no, Andy, I'm the pillow prince. You know, I mean, but this is my favorite part of life, hanging with you and talking shit about my friends. Acting like he's just coming off this, like... the success of a pillow way, like, he's like, you know, Andy, selling a billion pillows, Andy, you know, I'm just glad I can come here and talk shit with you, Andy.
Yeah, he's talking like he just walked off the set of Shark Tank, like he's the new shark. What's your evaluation? Okay, cool. I love getting to talk shit about my friends. Madison, you're a trash, you're a slut, you're a whore. I never want to see you again, and I hope you start crying right now. It's like, okay, that's I guess talking shit.
Well, we got a lot of pandemic tweets. You know, people were saying this could be used as a historical account of COVID-19. Oh, you know, that nobody taking it seriously and then all getting COVID. So looking back, were you naive about what could happen? Craig, you were notoriously a denier of this. And he's like, well, selfishly, I wanted to deny it, Andy. You know, who wants to live a life walking backwards? You know, keep that shot away from me. That's all I'm saying, Andy.
But I don't want to say too much more because I do have a microchip that's been implanted in my arm. So, and who in the cast took it seriously? Leva. And Leva talks about basically, you know, the having to close down her restaurants, and it was really hard. And then Danny chimes in, and she's like, oh, poor Danny. I don't know if the air conditioner was on really hard or she just was really nervous. She's like, Charleston is a food and bev town, Andy. I'm sorry, everyone. I'm sorry. Did I say that wrong? Is it bev and food? Or is it food and bev? I'm sorry.
Well, Catherine, you're already a social distancer. I mean, you've only hung out with men over the age of 50 since you were a teenager. So was it a relief in a way, this stay-at-home order? And she's like, yeah. And also, I have social anxiety, so it's really nice being able to wear a mask, Andy. Well, do you guys think Chef just wanted to support his mom, or was he just over there for a butler?
Shep is a mama's boy, you know, that's what he is. I'm just gonna have some bourbons, because I'm just a cool guy from the South. I'm a totally chill guy right now. I'm Pringle.
And then Andy brings up Craig and Austin's Instagram lives during lockdown, and we see some clips. Who is your dad, and what does he do? And someone asking them if they like cats. Craig is like
a real cat, or like the movie?
And Andy's like, oh, wow, I was in bed with COVID watching these every single night, and I was totally driving.
I was Jermaine Jackson-ing it off.
I was driving myself crazy with how much I was laughing off.
Also, we see a shot of Craig's couch, which is like just a shitty stained gray couch, and then a million pillows all the same size to like promote his pillows on the Instagram live. Yeah. And it is very like every pillow that's ever been on the Golden Girls. I'm sorry.
Okay, set it.
I feel like that look is in now. So there you go. So, So now Andy is like, Madison, what do you think? What do you think about Instagram lives? And Craig is like, well, you were flying around the country sleeping with married men, like ex-MLB players. That's what you were doing lockdown. You weren't at Austin's house because that's what you were doing. So you weren't able to see it. And that's where you're flying slut.
Yeah. And he's yelling at her. Like he just flies off the handle for no reason. Like, you slut, you were around the country with married men. And it's like, oh, really? Then give me some knives, man. Give me some knives. He's like, you flew to Miami to fucking ex-MLB player. And Danny's like, what's ex-MLB?
Major League Baseball, Danny.
Sorry. You don't know that. I'm sorry.
Is that Major League Bev? Because we're a food and bev town? Baseball, Danny. Oh, I'm sorry.
Give me a lot of ticker tests and give me a lot of ticker tests because I never flew to Miami. Tell me when I went to Miami. Where's the record of that, Judge?
You know that
he's like, I don't give a fuck.
You know that Madison's the type that's like, well, I flew to Fort Lauderdale. I never said I flew to Miami, but I flew to Fort Lauderdale. You know she's gonna, you know she's gonna always hang everything on a technicality.
Yeah, I drove there. And Craig's like, I know exactly what you did. And Andy goes, how? And he's like, she told me.
And Austin's like, yeah, because you were like bragging to all of us, Madison. It's insane. It's insane how you were bragging, Madison.
Yeah, do you know what the rumor is? Which baseball player social media is saying Madison hooked up with?
I heard it was A-Rod. Is that what you heard?
I heard it was A-Rod also. I don't know if it is, but... I would not mess with J-Lo. I would not, if that's true, Madison has some balls.
Yeah, well.
Baseballs.
I mean, they said A-Rod, and then I saw a couple of Instagram, because this has been a very Madison-heavy Instagram week, as everybody knows. And then someone posted pictures of her Instagram with him liking a couple of her posts or something.
Wow.
But then other people were saying that's just Photoshopped, okay? Oh. But then when they kept beeping out his name here, it was very short. You know, because they would be like, oh, really? Is that so? Blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, well, it sounds like A-Rod, you know?
Yeah.
Like they weren't coming up with like, it didn't sound like two names.
Didn't sound like Jim Edmonds, which made me happy. Although I'm not even saying this to be a joke. My first thought was, is it Daryl Strawberry? Because he's usually my first like ex-MLB player who jumps into my head.
Well, they didn't have the syllables for that. So I think
it's probably A-Rod.
So, and he's like, oh, bleep.
Sorry.
He's like, bleep, he is a very famous married MLB player.
Oh, that's baseball. We're still talking about baseball, right? Yes, Danny. See, she's trash, and I hate being on the same stage as her.
I was like, okay, Patty LuPone, you just, like, calm it. It's like, I will not share the stage.
Yeah, and by the
with
way...
with Glenn Close.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. And okay, let's say it's true. Let's say that Madison did go sleep with an ex-MLB player. So like Do we remember that Austin had a threesome when he was dating Madison? Do we remember that Austin went after Kristen Cavallari in the first part of this episode? Like, I just feel it's like, I don't know the full context of this rumor or whatever, but they are, it's just, it's so double. It's so, it's, they're ridiculous, as we will see in the Shep segment.
Well, supposedly they're so mad because this is when she was dating Austin still, technically. So Andy's like, just calm down, Craig. We just started. He's like, sorry, Andy. And so Andy asks, is this someone that Madison was DMing? And she's like, well, he contacted me, and yes, we DM'd. But other than that, there was nothing. I've never physically seen him. I've never physically touched him. And Austin's like, oh, really? Because you guys FaceTime all the time. Liar, liar.
Yeah.
Well, technically, that wasn't a lie.
When she said, I've never...
she said, I never physically seen him.
Yeah, when she said, I've never physically seen him, I was like, okay, they had FaceTime sex. That's what that means to
yeah.
me.
Yeah, and Craig's like, well, you messaged him in napkins and tables, in tablescapes. I saw, liar. Remember when we were at Iced Tea and French Fries? I saw it.
So Andy's like, Craig, he's like, Craig, we're just like 20 minutes in. Like, just calm down. She's bragging about it. That's it. That's her whole life is bragging. This all she does is brag. Okay. She's bragging about it. Meanwhile, Craig is sitting there, like you said before, acting like he is the pillow king of the South.
Yeah. And Pringle's like, I don't think jerking off on FaceTime is cheating anyway. There, I just don't. I don't. There, I said it.
Feels a little cheating.
Like, basically, like, you know what? Basically, what Andy is saying is that he enjoyed us on our lives and because they were hilarious, Madison. Okay? And there's only one person in the world that did not like it. And that's because she hates when anything good happens in my life.
Yeah, that slam was great. Everyone likes our Instagram lives. There's only one person who's insane enough not to like it. And her name rhymes with Fattison, okay? And that's you. It's you, Madison. It's you. I'm like, we could put two people who didn't like your Instagram lives. We could do that. I know another one.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah. And Andy's like, well, can I be a counterpoint to that? Because if I was dating you, I would not have liked it at all. And Craig's like, yeah, well, you know what? He tried to call her, but she had her phone off, Andy, so.
And also, yeah, I get it. He suddenly, like, backpedals now that Andy's like, no, you were being a bad boyfriend. He's like, yeah, I get it. It was insane for me to think that. Yeah, I get it. It's insane right now. Yeah.
Yeah, and Madison's like, trust me, I was not interested in him after that. And Shep's like, come on, guys, it's a tinderbox. It's a real tinderbox in here. And Madison goes, oh, you're just mad he fucked your girlfriend. Relax.
Dun, dun, oh, my dun. God. Oh, my God.
And boom goes the dynamite. So glad Pringle's here. He's really adding a lot.
I know. Someone should give him an iPad just like he gives to his kids. So so now we come back and you're a fucking liar. You're a liar, Madison. You're a liar.
So, you know, the thing about fucking your girlfriend. And Craig's like, yeah, but that was before I knew her, so who cares? And Levis's like, ooh, this is some tea. That's all Levis says. Levis says that about 10 times in this. She's like, oh my God, want the tea? That's some tea. Oh my God, I love hot tea.
I think she's just, like, promoting the beverage menu at her new restaurant. if her Instagram is any indication, she likes to promote things.
Sponsored by Celestial Seasonings. So Andy's like, Madison revealed this piece of info on Watch What Happens Live. And then we see the clip where Madison's like,
well, no, I don't think that girl's the one because, I mean, Austin slept with her last summer. And that's going to be a little too close to home, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. And then after we see the clip, Madison's like, you're in denial if you think that wasn't going to come out. And Craig's like, you're mean about it. The tone was mean. You was mean spirited. You were disgusted. You said it's not going to last. And you said that she's ugly and she's mean but you're mean and you're the mean one and you're the one who slept with A-Rod. And she's nice. She's pretty. She's a pretty girl. I like her. Me like Natalie. Yeah.
Yeah, and she's like, well, you seem to have your thoughts on my relationship, so yep. That's my thoughts on yours, uh-huh. Which, good point.
Yep.
And he's like, that was a low blow, Madison. And she's like, oh my God, come on, that's gotta hurt you in a sense that
Austin already dated her. And he's like, look, we are 30. Like, we like having fun. And if we're only going to date people we haven't crossed swords with, we're not going to have a chance.
There's a lot of...
Wow.
Yeah. Except the thing is, this, so by the way, it's not like Natalie is in Charleston and there's like a limited pool of women in Charleston. Like, it was in Aspen, right? Or something like that, where it's like...
Well, Seb's like, well, she was from New York, Craig. Come on. But yeah, they met in Austin or in Aspen.
Yeah.
And then Andy's like, yeah, the pool of people you guys have been with is quite large. Like, shut up, Grinder. Okay, who are you? What are you talking about? Like, we haven't all fucked the same, not me and Andy personally, but like
the gay community. It's like, you can't, it's very hard to go to a gay party where you're like, I've hooked up. Oh, you hooked up? Oh, Jesus Christ. We all hooked up with the same people?
Yeah.
Well, what are your tests like? We've all been there. Stop judging is what I'm saying.
So, Leva's like, Austin, does it bother you? Does it bother you? And Austin's like, well, at first I was like, and Craig's like, well, you were dating Madison, so it was fine. It was fine. And then Austin tells this whole story of I met this girl from New York, and I was like, this is a girl I'll never see again. And it's sort of like trap hop. Get it now, because you'll probably never see it again, right? And then all of a sudden, my best friend has to choose this girl out of a sea of girls to date, and now I have to tell Madison! No, it didn't. But
so he's just mad because he had to come clean about cheating,
yeah,
basically.
And isn't Austin the one who introduced her to Craig? Is that what they said later on?
Well, yeah, she was hanging out with them, I guess, so Craig met her. So Craig's like, well, you should have never told Madison, because Madison weaponizes everything you tell her.
And he's like, well, you know what, Craig? I didn't like it, and you know that, and we have a little problem about it, but I do not care.
Dance hands! Dance hands! He makes like, he shakes his hands.
And then Madison says, salmon is a good place to get some omega-3s, you stupid fuckface. See, I told you, she weaponizes every piece of information you give her. I told her about the salmon.
She even weaponized fish pills.
So, Madison, when you plug in that light, you have to be careful because it gets really hot.
Oh, guess what? Well, this light gets really hot. And guess what? You know what else gets hot? My face when I look at you.
She just weaponized the lamp information.
Well, listen, I think it takes a lot for Craig to say that it doesn't bother him. Like, he's being a big person here.
What?
And Andy's like, Andy goes, actually, like, I'd even forgotten this myself, which is super flattering.
But I actually met Natalie when I was hosting Love Connection. She was a contestant.
And so we see, oh, no, we don't see the clip,
actually. They actually did not get... Clearly did not get license for that.
Yeah, and Austin's like, well, that's just a little too weird. And Andy says, so that didn't bother you? Madison's like, oh, yeah, picked a real good one there, Craig. And then they all start dissing Love Connection, which is hilarious.
Yeah, and so Craig is like, at the end of the day, Austin introduced us in Aspen, and I was into her. I'm like, so Austin, that whole, like, spiel you did of, like, of all the women in the world, this is the one that he has to decide to date? I'm like, you literally introduced her in Aspen. If she's from New York, why was she even in Aspen? Like, you did this, Austin. You did this.
And Shep's like, well, she should have told everyone right away and been like, look at this, you know? Like, I don't know if she was trying to hide it, you know? Talking about Love Connection. He's like, did you know? And Craig's like, well, yeah, like, I'm used to Googling people.
It's a regular blonde one.
I love that Chef's like, it's disgusting,
yeah,
that this woman was on Love Connection and you still dated her.
I in defense of Natalie, who is not anywhere to be seen but is probably sitting somewhere with her mouth open because she's smiling, she I think it's fair that she chose not to divulge she was on Love Connection because she's like, oh, I'm like hanging with a bunch of people who are on a TV show. It would probably sound really thirsty if I said, oh, I was on a TV show too. Like, I think that is actually more thirsty than, like, you know, not leading with that. I don't know.
Well, I think what they're alluding to is that she is thirsty and she's just desperate to be on TV. So she went on Love Connection. And I mean, you have to be pretty thirsty to go on Love Connection. Like, that really is the lowest of the low.
Let's say, okay.
Let's face it, okay? I'm not thirsty. So they're saying that she is thirsty for being on that show, and then ingratiating herself with this cast makes her like double thirsty.
Right. Yeah. I mean, she's going to be damned if you do, damned if you don't. There's probably a smooth way she could have brought that up. I don't know. But I just thought that it was funny that was like the biggest offense that Shep saw. So, so Andy says, so you apparently texted Madison after she said it and said, going to war with me is the dumbest thing you've ever done. And then you sent her an emoji of a swirl, the one swirl emoji that no one knows what to do with. What was that about? It's just my new design for a pillow. I was kind of workshopping it and insulting her at the same time.
It's like, well, we've been friends for like 10 years, Andy. And Madison's like, have we though? Have we though? Yeah, I've had her back. And Austin's like, come on. You've been like this. I mean, you've barely been friends. Shaking hands. Yeah. Austin's really into his dance hands in this episode. Yeah. So Craig's like, it was mean-spirited, and it was awful what she did, and she's a trash human, and I will never speak to her again after tonight. But she is awful, Andy.
And then Leva's like, well, I don't think you have to get that dirty. I think what Craig is saying is like, if you want to go after someone, go after me. I don't think that I think Natalie was hurt by it. And I was a little gobsmacked, but we already knew that. And by the way, these shoes are from Payless. Thank you, everyone. Payless.
Well, you really hurt her feelings, Madison. She said, well, and I apologize for it, Craig. And he goes, no, you didn't. You know what? I read the fucking text. Like, you tried to gaslight her like you gaslight Austin. You said, I know Craig's mad at me, but I can't wait to see you because we're still cool even though you had a threesome. You never said sorry.
So she's like, You want me to read what I wrote? And Craig's like, yes, because you're nuts. You're a fucking sociopath who has zero feelings for anyone else. Not talking to you anymore until, you know, enjoy the next 10 minutes because that's the last time we'll ever talk in the history of the world.
So she reads it.
She's like, gosh, okay. I said, I just want to say that I know Craig was upset with me, and I've been asked this question in my interviews, and I thought it was a known thing. So I'm sorry if I upset you guys, and I'm also sorry I do not dislike you at all, and I'm sorry, and I think you're a nice person, sorry, from the other one or two times I met you, sorry. And I know you guys have thoughts on my relationship, sorry, and I have the same, but I did not try to hurt anyone. Sorry, 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 sorry. Sorry, sorry.
And he's like, that was 18 apologies. Wow. What are you talking about?
Undeniable amount of apologies. I also like how she just like weeds.
You won't read it, Andy. Why don't you read it?
So she marches over there and gives him the phone.
Yeah, and Craig says, that wasn't an apology. I didn't hear apology once, okay? and Andy's like, oh, well, actually it was three apologies. And Leva's like, well, I think what Craig is saying is that she didn't apologize to him.
Oh, God, Leva. Like, Leva's trying to moderate things, but she's also not getting it right. Like, I hate when people are trying to, like, sit there and be the moderator, but they're totally misunderstanding everything. Just be quiet, okay? Also, it's not about you.
Also, I will say that Madison's apology was laced with all sorts of passive-aggressive barbs. I think that sort of was not mentioned here, was that, like, when she said, like, you know, you're a nice person from the one or two times I met you, which is kind of like... It's kind of her way of being like, I don't really know you, bitch. And then also saying, I know you guys have thoughts on my relationship and I have the same, but I did not try to hurt anyone. Like, she's not a good apologizer. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, she's not.
This is not a bombshell.
But revelation. Also, I feel like she doesn't really owe that girl an apology. Okay. Thirsty girl from Love Connection, like, comes on and, like, is with two guys from the cast to get on this show. Like, I don't think if you're dating somebody from this show, I don't think that you're beyond getting mentioned when somebody asks. Well, they didn't ask about her, but listen, if somebody says that you banged Austin publicly, you did bang Austin publicly, so who cares?
I think that,
why does she owe you an apology? Yeah. You banged Austin. I mean, that was a dumb move, okay?
You know what, Madison's big downfall is that she can't help but play games, and she does do that all the time, and this is also another example of it. Like, just little comments. She can't just be like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to put you on blast like that. I just was trying to answer the question. But she just adds little things. And it's like that's to me her biggest, I don't know,
Downfall.
Flaw.
Flaw. So Andy is reading her phone now because she's marched it over. And she goes, oh, and I have a folder for each one of you. And Shep's like, oh, no, I hope I'm not in a folder. And Andy's like, well, you added a couple of apologies to your version of this just now, okay? Because here it only says sorry one time. Chris's like, it doesn't matter. And watch what happens live. She tried to hurt someone for no reason.
So Madison's like, what do you think you're doing talking like trash? And he's like, you're trash too. You're trash too. You're the one running your mouth.
Well, I mean, she should have told people about the dating show thing. And then he's like, it's the Love Connection and it's my show. So let's get a little respect, please.
Okay, well, I would have said I was on a failed Fox television game show reboot that no one really asked for, but happened anyway. That's the first thing that I would say to someone. Shep, I'm going to let you speak one more time and you better come correct.
Yeah. But of course, I'm on TV is the first thing that Shep says, you know. So then Andy's like, well, that seems suspect to you that this girl is on my show. And he's like, yeah, basically. And Craig says, well, you know what? For some reason, I fell for her. Like, I hated that she'd been with Austin, but I haven't had this feeling for years, Andy. And Love is like, you know what? Love is love. Love who you love. Love. Just love who you love, Craig.
Well, then you better have some balls if you're going to sleep with someone who's sleeping with the cast and quit running your mouth in.
I'm speaking the truth today. You are. If you call me trash, one more time. You're trash. You're trash. She's cruel. You threw away 10 years of friendship, and I will never speak to you again after today, starting right now.
So then we come back from commercial, and she's like, you mad? You mad? And Austin's like, can I throw this pillow at Madison? Like, he's being playful with the pillow. Like, can I throw this pillow at Madison? And Shep's like, this is too stressful. And Catherine's like, you need a jewel. She's like vaping over there.
Yeah. Catherine has been very quiet during all this, by the way. So, last year, Shep was a little bit of a lost cause, but this year, the old Rose is looking less thorny. Shep, you wrote a book. Tell me about it.
Oh, God. Well, it's called Average Expectations. Here it is. It's Average Expectations, Lessons in Lowering the Bar. Some of my stories, darn it, they're just insane, Andy. I had to write them all down.
Oh, there was the story about the time when I watched all 10 parts of the Vietnam War by Ken Burns over the course of 10 days. Gosh.
Yeah. So, they talk about Shep's life and how Taylor happened so organically, you know, and what really made their relationship work is that she refused to give him a reason to run away.
She's clingy. So Pringle's like, oh, well.
Also, she's faking it. I think she's just faking it because when you just let a man do whatever he wants, of course they're not going to run away. You know, it's like, I don't buy it. I'm going to say in 2 years, she's going to be like, excuse me, your ass crack is showing. It's disgusting. Pull up your pants.
She's playing the long game. So Pringle's like, well, fathers and daughters are rejoicing all over the world. Don't take her for granted, Shep. Don't take her for granted. What you should do is give her an iPad and then just let her sit there in the corner with it.
And then Austin's like, yeah, well, I never thought he'd meet a girl that would just let him be Shep. You know, she loves his plumber crack, like all of his foibles. Yeah, foibles. Call my friend. Talk about lowering your expectation. Anytime I'm around Austin, lowering my expectations. I'm going to write that down for part two.
Oh, I should write the story about the time that I drank some beer at a bar. Chapter 5. Oh, it's so good. So, yeah, Catherine says that Shep is more calm and kind and he's a good listener now. He's more nurturing. I'm like, why were you guys friends with him beforehand if he was not calm and he wasn't kind and he wasn't a good listener and he wasn't nurturing? What sort of friend was he before?
Yeah. And Danny's like, oh,
he's matured since we were together. You know, I just look at them and I think, wow, look, Shep. Shep can finally be a decent person. I seem to be getting a lot of men ready for serious relationships. Good, I could be glad I could be your training wheel, Shep. Thanks.
Yeah, that's exactly where I thought she was about to go. Like, I thought she was about to say, oh, well, if only he had been like this when we were together, maybe we'd be married by now, but I guess not. So then, then Andy out of nowhere goes, so Shep, are you a generous lover? I was like, whoa, even Shep looked a little like, you know, blindsided by that.
In the bed? Yes, Shep.
Yeah, no, at the Hallmark store.
Yeah, and he goes, I'd like to think so. And Lovett goes, "All, I think all men would like to think so, actually." And so he's like, yeah, you know what? In bed, I'm like, whoa, would you like my penis? Wow, you're welcome. You know, Andy, lower your expectations. That's what I always told Taylor. Then I wrote a book about it. And everyone's like tearing up, which, I mean, I just don't, I'm still not buying it, Shep. Sirs. Sorry. So they're all like, oh my God, it's a new Shep. And Andy's like, well, here's the real question, Shep. Have you been faithful? And he's like,
it's like, oh yeah, new Shep, new Shep. So
yeah, Madison starts laughing. It's like, oh, nothing, I can say anything. Craig's like, just be truthful. Hey, how about you stop running your mouth, corn hater? I was born for corn.
Born for corn, like me and A-Rod.
So Shep is like, well, there were some garsh text messages, and Matt's like, well, don't worry, I won't slut shame you. Is that okay? Is that okay? He's like, oh, okay. And Craig's like, well, you know, you made out with her, you know, and that's just say, no, I kissed a girl on a stairwell. That's all it was. Just kissed a girl on a stairwell. Like, that's all it was. That's cheating.
Yeah, and Craig's like, I would break up with you if it was me. And
he's like, well, I'm glad it wasn't you, because I wouldn't date you. So Shep tells us that this was just some old flame, and they had been texting, and they made out in a stairwell he's like, you know what, and I know that I didn't do anything wrong, and I'll go to my grave knowing that that's true. And Austin's like, well, you know what? I think it was a good thing, Shep, that happened, because, you know, then you took an honest look at yourself and you realized that Taylor was the one for you. And Lev was like, yeah, you guys really romanticized cheating.
Exactly. Look at them. Look, like, with Madison allegedly goes down to Miami. You're trash. I never want to talk to you ever again. You're just stupid, a stupid face trash bag. But with Shep, well, you really learned. You learned so much right now. It's insane how much you've learned about yourself. Like, that's such bullshit. Such bullshit.
Yeah, it is. And Madison's like, yeah, they can do it, but I can't do it. Let's make that very clear. And Catherine's like, yeah, I guess that doesn't make him trash. And Shep's like, come on, it was a big deal. And then they ask if she's been faithful. And Pringle asks if Taylor made out with somebody, like an old flame, would Shep be okay? And he's like, yeah, I would say, let's talk about it. And Andy goes, well, good for you. And he goes, no, I don't want to be exalted, Andy. I don't want to be exalted.
That already happened in chapter 7. When I went to Toronto.
Like, yeah, not exalting you, buddy.
Okay. He's like, I'm just saying something pleasant so we can move on.
Yeah.
So we have a commercial break. And then what happens next? Austin is mad.
Yeah, basically, Madison, considering the crap that Shep has put you through, you and Austin through, is it hard not to take pleasure in Shep's relationship drama? And she's like,
well, you know, honestly, I'm here for this redemption tour, and I think at this point, a good girl is exactly what he needs. I need your therapist.
And he goes, oh, my therapist knows all about you. It might be a conflict of interest.
Oh, gosh. Unless you were going to all be dating. So then Andy is like, so what have you learned, Shep? And he's like, oh, well, I learned to focus on, are you happy today? If you think about your future, you'll freak out. So that's why when I made out with that girl, I thought, if I make out with her, I could ruin everything with Taylor. But I have to think about right now, and am I happy? Could be a little happier if I just kiss her. Gosh, I've learned so much.
And Andy asks how many times he's blacked out this year. And he's like, I will always howl at the moon. But, you know, last year was really dark and negative, Andy, because he was unhappy. So he was just hooking up with a lot of chicks. Like, that's like literally your whole life that we've seen on the show. And Pringle says, yeah, you know, like when the cans thing happened, I texted you like, bro, you know, and you were defiant about it. And, you know, I just reached out and I said, buddy, you should take that down from Instagram. And then I sent him a documentary about the people in New York that do collect cans.
What? He's like, here's what you got to do with those cans. You got to find three more cans. They're going to magically disappear. And then a bunch of fruit's going to fall down. Wait a second. I'm talking about an app that I gave my kids.
And Shep was saying, I don't care. I only care about the funny. It was all about the funny to him. And Craig's like, yeah, you were sitting next to Austin on the plane and you said, fuck those people. This is funny. And Shep's like, yeah, well, you know, in the cold light of day, I thought, what have I done? What have I done?
I got down on my knees like Willem Dafoe in Platoon and I said, oh, gosh, Redemption Tour.
Yeah, and that by that he means like once he got in trouble on Instagram, he said, what the fuck have I done?
Well, because originally he said that when Pringle texted him, he's like, well, I was so drunk. I was really drunk. That's when I said it. And Craig's like, you were on the plane next to me. So he was either just like had been on a bender through from the night before and onto the plane. Or he was just trying to get out of it again before our
eyes. I
know.
I like that the guys aren't letting him get away with it. They're like, nope. We tried to tell him, and he wouldn't listen to us. Yep. So Andy's like, what did your parents have to say about it? And he goes, oh, my parents were in Alaska touring the Denali Forest. My God.
I know, that was my favorite. That was my favorite part of it all. Well...
What's a Denali Forest? Shut up, Danny.
Is that a food in Bevtown also?
Oh, they were staying at the Timber Creek Lodge. And, you know, I was like, Mom, Dad, can I come up to your presidential suite? And they were like, hold on one second. The butler's here. And I was like, okay, fine. But then I was really antsy because it was turn down service time. And I didn't want to delay that because I was really looking forward to the mint on my bed. So, it was a real tough time.
I had to wait downstairs for the butler to finish doing turn down service so he could carry me up the stairs. So once I got up there, my dad said, we've heard about some problems you've been having with recycling. And then I broke down and I said, I'm so sorry. Please send the butler over. Like, look, I'm not a guy who's like, fuck you and fuck your feelings. That's just not who I am, which is total bullshit. And Madison makes a face and Andy's like, well, Madison might not agree. And he's like, I feel bad about that because I said some things about Madison. And she's like, look, it's fine. You know what? I feel at peace with Shep. And Austin's like, you are not friends. Stop acting like you're friends, both of you.
The way that Austin just hectors people is like, it's so infuriating, but also hilarious. Like, everyone, he's just like, you're not friends, okay? This is what does he do to delivery people? Like, if Postmates come and messes something up, I mean, we all get annoyed with that. But does he just like, you know, he calls up customer service. This is insane. I ordered a burrito bowl, not a burrito. This is insane. This is not right.
Madison goes, shut your Muppet mouth. Which... you know, gratifying.
I've
been calling him Fozzie for a long time. So, you see? So, Austin's like, you guys hate each other. And Andy's like, well, I'm not asking if they're friends, just if they're at peace. And Austin just is sitting there reeling. He's like, Muppet mouth. God!
Waka, waka, waka. God! Don't have a Muppet mouth.
Shep's like, I'm just saying we're at peace. Well, how could you be at peace with someone who treats your friend so bad and like treated my girlfriend that you love so bad?
Oh, my goodness.
How many years were you friends with them while they were treating like Catherine so bad?
Exactly.
Like, give me a break. Hypocrite.
That's exactly right.
So Shep's like, well, I'll tell you why, because like Austin's got to stand up for himself. Like, at what point is he culpable? It takes two to tango, you know, in Paris. And let me give you an analogy. Why would Madison let Austin go? He's cheap labor. I mean, Lev owns a restaurant. Can you imagine if a manager works for $2 an hour and comes in on time and cleans up and, you know, does everything that you won't do and you don't have to pay him shit? She's like, I would never do that. Maybe not with a manager, but I don't think I've ever seen a restaurant I don't think there is a restaurant that doesn't use cheap labor. Come on.
Yeah, I wasn't even totally sure about the analogy. I guess he was saying, I couldn't he have just said, why buy the cow if you can get the milk for free? Isn't that the more, is that what he was trying to say, which is that like Austin, like she does this to you because she knows you're always going to come back, right? Is that what she's saying? Is that what he was saying? Or did he just want to really make a comment about cheap labor? He's like, oh, ever since I started talking about touring the Denali Forest, I just had to work in something about the people who work for us there.
So Andy's like, how does that make you feel, Austin? And Austin's like, I know, Andy. I know it's the truth. And Lovell goes, yeah, but then when you don't speak up, then it spills over and Madison gets bullied. Like, okay, now. Like, Madison is not some innocent little victim in any of this either.
She isn't, but I do think that they come hard at her, really hard. I mean, you saw the way they went at Shep versus the way they went at Madison. It's insane right now.
So Shep's like, speak up, Austin. And he's like, oh, look, buddy, I'm going to have my time. I'm going to have my time.
Oh, God.
So then we go to Craig's. Craig's career ambitions used to just hang by a thread. But ironically, this is the guy that's used the success of the show to actually find success. That must be a tough pillow to swallow for Shep, huh, Shep?
Yeah, Shep, you've been dogging his ambition all this time. And I'm saying dogging because you got a dog named Little Craig, right? And Shep goes, what? No, I haven't been dogging his ambitions. I've been totally supportive since day one.
And Austin's like, yes, you have.
He's rewinding himself as he talks.
Yeah, Shep's like, I support you and your pillows. And Greg's like, oh, please, your entire existence was about blasting me. And then we see clips of everybody making fun of Craig's pillows and his sewing over the years. And Cameron is such a nasty bee. So in every. Nasty.
But I loved it. Like, you know, here's the thing. I've always defended.
Cameron is such a jerk in every clip.
I've always defended, or maybe at least I should say understood, why they were like making fun of him. Because he was like, I think it's awesome that he's doing the pillows. And I think it's great that he found his passion. But he was also, during this time, feeding them lines of bullshit about, like, yeah, I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm a lawyer. I just don't, like, I'm a lawyer. And then he, like, hadn't even taken the bar. And he was saying he was doing one thing, but he was talking all the time about how he was gearing up for his, like, law career. But he was at home making pillows. So they're like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, don't tell us you're doing this when you're doing that, right? So I think that's why they were, like, kind of, like, always rolling their eyes. So I always got that.
I always felt like it was like rich people laughing at the poor person. That's always how I took it on.
Well, there could have been that,
but Craig, I felt like Craig was always full of shit,
too. I think it was the full of shit thing, honestly, that was more what they were laughing at because he was like full of shit. But now he got it, but he was full of shit, and then he took that shit and he put it, he arranged it nicely and turned it into a business. Because you know what that's called? Getting your shit together.
And I like that Shep's so backhanded because he's like, you know what? I will say that Craig has come further than all of us. I mean, from A to B, it's amazing the route he took when from A to B is like literally the easiest route you can take, you know? And Andy's like, so what about sewing down south? And Craig says that they just got an order placed for 30,000 pillows. He's like, it's our first $1 million order.
Which is
like
crazy.
$30,000 for a million? 30,000 pillows? God, I'm not very good with math, but how much do those damn pillows cost?
Throw pillows are more expensive than you'd think. 30,000 pillows, if they were at $10 each, that's $300,000. So if they're all at like $30 to $40, that's $1 million right there.
You said they're $58.
Yeah. Guys, pillows. I mean, Craig is smart. He found the easiest thing to sew. It's a square. It's a square sewn onto another square with stuff in the inside, okay?
Yeah, it's $1.7 million. Smalla.
That's really, I mean, I have to say, I was very impressed by that. Not that anyone needs me to be impressed by it. But
that's crazy.
But I was impressed. It was very, very impressive. That's crazy. Yeah. I want
to. So he's going to open a store on King Street for all of his products because he wants to move into kitchen stuff now.
Yeah, freaking and mortars, way to
Pringle's
go.
Like, have you thought of doing a Craig body pillow? I'm still here, guys.
Have you thought about doing a pillow in the shape of an iPad that actually has an iOS in it? It's just an iPad. Can you make iPads?
So Andy asks about Patricia giving, you know, how Patricia was saying shitty things about his pillows. And he's like laughing and like sitting back all in his Steve Jobs pose. And then we see the clip of Pat saying, "Well, my pillows are luxury and Craig's pillows are affordable." And Austin's like, "Surprise, surprise, right, Craig?" And Craig goes, "Yeah, well, I'm bummed. Her pillows are sold for $20, and our pillows are $58 on HSN. And HSN purchased two more collections from us, and hers is a failure of a company."
And I saw Miss Patricia on Twitter this morning saying something like, "Well, they cut out the other part, which is that I'm happy for him, and I love Craig, even if he does sell down-market pillows."
Mm-hmm. Poor people need to rest their heads on something as well. So
it's like that old analogy about cheap labor. You're not going to get cheap labor if they have cheap sleep, right? Give them a pillow.
So Madison's like, "Don't say that. I don't believe that. She is. It's a failure. You know what? Don't poke me. Like, I'll root for you, but, like, it's blatant lies." And Madison says, "So we'll say it to her face." And he's like, "Today is about the truth. And there's only one person here the truth hurts. And that's you, Madison. And kind of Shep, too."
"Yeah, the truth about my pillows hurts you, doesn't it, Madison? Doesn't it? My pillows are better than Patricia's pillows. Now, how does that feel, Madison? Huh? I'm never talking to you, ever."
So Catherine says, like, it's low-key kind of weird that an older person is bagging on the success of a young person that's trying to come up in the world. And Craig's like, "Yeah, like, how can we take anything she said about Austin's company serious? Like, we just did $250,000 in sales a month, and she's trashing us, and she's trashing Austin and his beer." I mean, Harris Teeter or something, I don't know. All right, she's got a point with him, but still.
Yeah, I like Catherine saying, you know, it's weird for an older person to be bagging on the success of a young person trying to come up. I also think it's weird for an old person to be coming on a young person who's also trying to come up. But still trying to make a Thomas Ravenel joke. It kind of got away from me, everyone. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. The person married to Thomas Ravenel can't really make that comment because that's like all Thomas ever did. So Andy's like, "Well, Lemma, for years we saw you do cameos on the show, and now you're actually doing cameos. So what made you decide to join the show?" And she's like, "Literally love doing cameos. So paid my mortgage, Andy. Thanks."
Yeah. She was basically like, "Well, I've got these, you know, businesses, and, you know, I've always been in the background." And there was that one scene where I got really mad at Craig when he tried to put up a step and repeat. And I thought, I want to do more of that. So, so here I am. Hi.
Well, and he asked her, "What's the best part?" She's like, "You know, getting to know these people. I mean, they're all good people. Even Catherine, you know, was like fine sometimes." So, and he's like, "So what about the worst part?" And she's like, "Well, it's not being heard, Andy, you know, and I'm just trying to be clear. And it's a real shitty feeling when you're not trying to be abrasive, but it seems like you're knocking on a door and no one's home." That's how I feel. And he's like, "Well, someone asked how the cast are as customers in your restaurants." And she's like, tea, Andy. I have tea. Love tea. Hey, Andy.
I literally have tea. We serve a lot of tea. And if you remember earlier in the season, I had a very ornate tea set that we all enjoyed. So, because remember, she did have a tea set. Now that I think about it, it was like a really fancy tea set. So Craig is like, "Tell us the one person who's been kicked out of your restaurant clubs." And she's like, "Oh, well, it was Shep. I mean, he had to be ushered out and, you know," and Shep's like, "Oh, yeah." And I guess they say that he's always really long-winded when he tries to, when they have to kick him out. And he's like, "Oh, but I always tell a good story. It's like a grand finale to the evening for me, right? Right? Everyone loves it. Oh, you can read it in chapter 5 through 18 in Lowering the Bar, Life on the Shep side of the Denali Forest."
And she says that Madison's a good customer and Thomas has always been a good customer, which I find hilarious because there's actually a map or something you can buy in Charleston of all the places that Thomas has been kicked out of.
He's been kicked out of that steakhouse that we went to with Patricia like 5 times. She even said so, like, "Oh, right there, that's where Thomas got kicked out of Halls right there." By the way, one of the best steaks I ever had in my life was at that place.
Yeah, Halls is like their central perk on this show. They're always at Halls.
It's just like Cougar Central.
Catherine's like, "Well, the first night I even had any type of love connection, that's my show, with Thomas, we were at Republic." And Lev is like, yeah, I remember seeing her. I mean, she just looks so green. And I remember telling Lamar, watch her, because she's with all these older guys. And Craig goes, yeah, well, he let her get pregnant by a 52-year-old, so he didn't do a very good job.
No, that's what I meant. I said, Lamar, watch her, because this is what's going to happen when people come into our club. Okay, just watch and take notes. Okay, great. So, Leva's like, well, obviously, you know, he didn't get her home or whatever. So Andy's like, so Catherine, do you remember Lamar watching over you 7 years ago? Do you remember that? She's like, I don't really remember much. It was a long time ago. It was a sort of a weird question to ask. Like, why would you remember Lamar? Like the guy in the corner who works there, sort of like looking out. So,
well, also her answer was so creepy. She's like, yeah, I don't really remember much about that night, Andy. Like, oh, God.
Yeah.
So then Pringle says, well, I kissed Catherine at Republic. I still have the shirt that you got your lipstick on. It won't come out.
That's because you have to wash it. That's how that works. So then he's like, yeah, I'm sort of like a caged lion when I was released in Charleston. You still are. You still are. You should go to the Denali Forest in Alaska. There are bears there. You'll be fine because we'll just stay in the lodge, you know, in presidential suite.
And Leva says tea again. She's like, I won't spill tea, Andy. They're all protected from tea. And he says, do you feel like you were an outsider because of your Persian descent and being married to a black guy? And she's like, well, I think interracial couples is more common now than it used to be. And Shep's like, well, I think Charleston is a pretty progressive city. Like, well, I mean, that's easy for the, you know, white rich guy to say in Charleston,
yeah.
Shep.
Yeah, jeez. I would say so. Have you ever been treated differently, and why did Madison do that to you? Go on. And then Leva tells a story about how she got into a car accident. She's like, I ran someone over, which I thought was kind of a funny way to start it. But she, the guy was basically like, are you illegal? Is this even your car? Like, he was basically like, it was a big dick white guy moment.
And then she was buying a property one time, and the guy said, you don't know anything about anything, and I don't want your Yankee money. And because I was schooling him on a deal, and he said, I don't want your Yankee cash. And like, people like you need to get out of our city and stuff like that. So, yeah, you hear stuff, but not amongst this group. And Andy asks if Little is a real name, and she explains where Little came from, which, like, don't care. And then... because he's like the little version of the dad.
Literally, you don't care.
So next up is one thing that's hard to miss is some of the female cast members are missing this year. Leva, what's your relationship like with Cameron? And she's like, well, it's not really there anymore. I mean, there's no bad blood, but... And he asks if she thinks that Cameron's like upset that she...
Sounds like there is. And she's like, oh, well, I don't... think so.
He says, do you think that she's upset that you joined the cast? And she's like, well, I'm just assuming that she doesn't want to hear anything about the show.
Right. So Craig's like, she loved doing this. She loved being on the show. I actually believe Craig on this because she was on Real World. She even did the Girls Gone Wild special with Joe Francis. She did the challenge. Cameron, I think that Cameron liked doing it, but I think that her husband is not a fan of it, and I would not be surprised if there was like a little bit of an ultimatum, and especially when he showed up on the show finally last season and they were all like boo, and he's probably like fuck it. It's like it's either the show or me.
Yeah, probably, but she seems like so traumatized. Like she won't talk to anybody from it. She cut everybody off, it sounds like.
Well,
and they're saying it's not because of the affair stuff. And everyone seems to agree on that, so it's weird. I wonder what happened.
She's probably just doing that thing when, you know, when certain people graduate high school and they go off and then they come, they're like, yeah, I go to school in Philadelphia now, so I don't have to talk to you. You know, it's like, okay, all right. So congratulations. You moved on to another phase of your life.
Yeah, Craig spoke with her, he said, like one time in 3 months, and it was an I love you, but it sucks we can't talk kind of conversation, but he doesn't say why. Yeah. And then Danny thinks it's because she likes to have control over her life, and she probably regrets not being there. And Catherine is like, and I want to make it clear, like, Catherine suddenly is, like, alive.
Yeah.
Catherine, it's like someone gave her a shot in the ass. It's like, oh, my God, I haven't hardly said anything in this reunion. So I want to make it clear that she decided not to come back before rumors or anything like that started.
Yeah.
And Craig's like, yeah, I hate that that happened, that everyone's blaming that rumor.
Yeah. And Catherine's like, and now she fucking hates me and has FOMO. Sorry you didn't get to be on the show this year. You've been talking about me for six. Whatever.
Like, she gets all furious out of nowhere. And then he's like, okay, let's put a pin in that.
Yeah.
So we come back from break, and one of the biggest bombshells drop before the cameras.
Wait, can I say something? Sorry. Something, a thought popped into my head. I think I would not be surprised if another reason why Cameron is moved on from Southern Charm is because she's become very baby-oriented. I mean, she had a baby, which is a life-changing experience, and her whole thing last year was about baby, 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 baby. And it's a little frustrating to me. If my theory is true, I would be frustrated. And the reason why is not because – it's not because, like, oh, motherhood – is like, motherhood or babies, babies. But it's more like her whole thing was always, I hate babies. I don't like babies. I don't even want a baby. I hate babies. I hate babies. I hate babies. And then all of a sudden she becomes like, moms, did you ever know that if you feed a baby too much, it burps up? It's like now she's like super baby, like mommy baby. And so if that is why she leaves, if she left because she wants to do more baby stuff, I would be personally frustrated because she was always like, it's like a total 180 from what she was always about. And I feel like a little lied to. I don't know if that's rational. And I'm not trying to be insulting to people who are mothers because I understand it changes you. But
well, I doubt it's that because it's like some big secret. You know, she was going to do it until the day before and then she dropped out and no one knows why. And then she won't talk to anybody now. It just seems weird. So Catherine's like, and I did not start that rumor, and I have a folder. I kind of forgot to bring it out here. I'm like, you're just coming back from a break. You forgot the folder, Catherine. And then we see a close-up of the folder in Catherine's dressing room. And she says it's full of text messages just to prove that she didn't sit at home twiddling my thumbs to come up with a rumor about a girl that I'm so jealous of. You know what? She has nothing I want, okay? And she's been a fake, inauthentic, you know, she's fake and inauthentic. And she used me when it was convenient. And Craig and Shep both heard the rumor. And Shep, I heard you were at a bar a year ago and people were talking about this. And they're like, geez, because she's like furious, she's like, and going
bouncing
off
in her seat. She's like literally like on the Indiana Jones ride at Disneyland. She's like, bum, 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 bum. Like, where did this? What happened?
Craig's like, jeez. He's like, I know there's no truth to the rumor, and I know that Catherine didn't make up the rumor. And Andy goes, yeah, but you brought it up on the show, so didn't she quit because of that? And then we see Cameron's Instagram where she says, my decision was given to Bravo months ago and I had nothing to do with it, had nothing to do with this ridiculous and fake rumor having been spread about my marriage. So please disregard any fabricated rumor.
I love baby bibs. So then Craig is like, well, what happened? It was in the 11th hour and I called Cam and Shep and she said, we're doing this. And the next day we showed up to film, but I got a call from her and she said, you're going to hate me, but I'm not doing this year. So like I went home and I was like, she's not doing it this year. So then I went to my fridge and I got a beer and I drank the beer and I was like, hey, Shep, did you hear that Cam's not doing it this year? Yeah. It's like the 11th hour. Like she's going to do it with us today, but then she didn't do it with us today. So then she didn't. And you know, I'm never talking to Madison again.
And Andy's still stuck on, well, wouldn't you guys assume that that's because of the rumor? Because it's like that happened on the first day of filming.
Yeah.
And Catherine said, no, that had been going around. And Leva doesn't believe the rumor. Shep doesn't believe it. And Shep's like, who even cares anymore? Like, really?
Yes.
And Leva's like, yeah, but it. And Andy tells Leva, yeah, but you were really mad about the rumor with Catherine. Like, you told Catherine off about it. And Leva's like, well, yeah, because she brought it onto national television, you know? Like, everybody on this couch has fake rumors about them, you know? And I was shocked that people took it seriously because I hear stuff and I don't talk about it. And Catherine's like, oh, that's bullshit. We all talk about it.
The tea, yeah. If you will.
She's like, we all talk about it. Come on, Leva. You've been on one season. Like, you would know.
Yeah. And Leva, which... which is true, but Leva's been around all this time. Like, we've always known about Leva. So she's like, I'm saying I don't repeat fake rumors about you, okay? Him, her, that pillow over there, Kristen Cavallari. It's insane right now. You talked about Kristen Cavallari, him, it. If I have a problem with you, I have kept it real. If I have problems with any of you fuckers, I keep it real. I have a tea. I have the tea and a teapot.
And Catherine's like, really? Because watching this season, you sure had a lot to say about me, and it was very hurtful. And she's like, well, then tell me what I said, and I'll apologize, because I didn't want to say anything hurtful. But, you know, like, every time I talk to you, she's like, you said lots of things. You even made fun of my voice.
I know. And then we see a clip of Leva saying, like, oh, she's going to say, like, in her little baby voice, like, I didn't know, with her baby voice. And it's like, yeah. I'm like, is this the worst dirt they could pull up about Leva, is that she said she's going to speak in a baby voice?
And Leva's like, yeah, but everything I said, I told you clearly to your face. And she goes, no, clearly not, because you told all my friends I'm a bad person who manipulates all my friends. And she's like, who did I say that to? And then we see a clip of Leva saying, that girl treats you like a doormat, Danny. And Danny's like, well, she doesn't know how to be a good friend. And Leva's like, I didn't say she manipulates you. And Catherine's like, oh, did I use the wrong word? Sorry. You took advantage of Danny, who's a very good person. As if Danny never said any of that, and Leva forced her to say all that stuff. Yeah. Come on.
She did not take advantage of Danny. And by the way, from what we can see, Catherine does treat Danny like a doormat. Like, Danny is the one who shows up and waits for Catherine. Danny is the one who texts Catherine, doesn't get a text back. Like, there's actually a very big difference between saying, you know what, your friend is treating you like a doormat, versus saying, Catherine is manipulative, da 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 da.
So Leva's like, oh my God, stop being a victim. And then Catherine gets really mad. She's like, I'm not a fucking victim.
Yeah, her seat really
and you need bouncing. To shut the fuck up with that right now. You're the fucking victim. Jeez. Wow.
Yeah. I was like, ooh, this is going to be a bad look going into, you know, the serious talks. So then Leva's like, you should be so lucky I give a shit. How am I the victim? And she's like, I'm over it. We'll get to you. And to me, girl, we'll get to you. And she's like, all I said was that you said that you have an internal bias. I have a right to say that. No, you're not gonna sit there and distort my narrative instead of me anymore. That's it, girlfriend.
And she's like, I've slandered you now. You slandered yourself. She's like, well, you know what? You haven't seen this bitch in a while, but I'm back, okay?
Her seat's like about to fall over because it's rattling so much.
Yes. What the hell? And then they're like, next week. Can I pee? Can I pee too?
I need to
Can
pee. It's insane. My too? Bladder right now.
Ay. What a show.
It looks like this will be a three-parter, right? Because they did not say the conclusion, and it doesn't look like they didn't touch on any of the racial stuff for next week. So a lot to unpack here. A lot to unpack.
Wow. For now, let's put a pin in it. Yeah.
And Pringle gets mad at Craig, so that'll be fun.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for being here. We will talk to you next week with more Southern Charm. We'll be back, you know, every day as we are normally. So just come find us. You want to hear more? If you want to see our videos, you can find video recaps at Crappens On Demand level on Patreon. Just go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find that link. That's also where we do our bonus episodes, okay? So go check it out. And until next time, we sure love you guys.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's Run Some Errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
She's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Higher than high res. She's Lauren Perez.
Patricia Murdoch, she wrote.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan lettuce.
He makes us squee. Richie D.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto. Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa. It's Austin and Marissa. Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible, edible Matthews sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.